there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Andrea Lorien, one of the producers on Vermont Edition. And I wanted to let you know that what you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Short and sweet, right to the good stuff. Thank you.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. Spring brings with it new life, like litters of kittens. Some of them inevitably end up in shelters or roaming your neighborhood. That's why animal rescue workers often urge people this time of year to spay and neuter their cats, especially outdoor cats. Our next guest works to make sure that cats in Vermont are responsibly taken care of. Mish Faust, is the head of Queen City Cats, a volunteer-run cat rescue in Burlington. Mish, welcome.
Thank you.
So we've brought up kitten season a couple times. Now, what exactly does that mean?
So kitten season is the time of year, typically between April and October, when you see more kittens being born. And that's because the days are longer, you know, the weather is warmer. And most mammals, you know, do breed, you know, a couple months before that season. So it's just a natural time for them to be out roaming and, you know, making more
doing their
babies.
Things.
Yes.
Why is it so important then to spay and neuter cats?
Oh, there's many, many reasons to spay and neuter cats. There's just not enough homes for all the available kittens and cats that are already out there. And spaying and neutering, you know, obviously prevents that problem and will help other cats, like adult cats, get adopted, you know, that are waiting in shelters or in rescues.
Yeah. Is that a big problem here in Vermont? Like, how full are our shelters and rescues?
Well, I think it's a problem here, but a lot of people don't realize it because cats are very elusive, or, you know, they may not survive the winter if they're outside. People just don't see it as often as they do in warmer climates. And that's what I meant to add to the kitten season. It is year-round, especially in warmer places, and especially for indoor cats, too. They can get pregnant any time of year, you know. And it is a problem because, you know, there are different diseases that cats can get when they are not spayed or neutered. It causes behavior issues. They can be seen as nuisance animals for some people, you know, when there are cats outside spraying, for instance, you know. So, yeah, there's many, many reasons to spay and neuter, but most of it is to control the cat overpopulation.
If your cat, Mish, is not fixed and you don't plan to change that, should you just 100% keep them indoors?
Yeah, but even if a cat is inside, like I mentioned, they can still, you know, get cancer or get infections of the uterus or things like that. So even if your cat is indoor only, there are still many reasons to fix them. And, you know, cats, even male cats who live inside, they will spray their territory inside, and it is not a good smell to live with.
Oof, yeah. But one of the barriers to spaying and neutering any pet is the cost. It is
absolutely
pretty expensive, right? Hundreds of dollars?
It is. Yes, it definitely can be. And there are some resources in Vermont. We have them on our website for lower-cost spay and neuters. But again, you know, there's not a lot, especially in the Burlington area. And for some folks, driving an hour away is prohibitive. And even the lower cost spays and neuters are hard for some people to afford. And if they can't afford to fix, you know, say a pair, a male and female in their home, they're definitely not going to be able to afford, you know, litters of kittens that will inevitably be born soon after.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cats can get pregnant at 5 months old. So, you know, there's no point in waiting if you don't have to.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, actually. Is there a kind of age range for when cats can have kittens? It starts at 5 months, you're saying? That's
early. It's definitely possible. It is very early, and they're still kittens themselves, and they're usually pretty tiny, you know? So, I mean, it can put their lives at risk if people don't, you know, get them spayed in time. Even 8 months is they're still little, they're still developing, they're still kittens. So a lot of the clinics will spay kittens at about 2 to 3 pounds. I know that sounds like, you know, they're tiny. We prefer to wait, you know, closer to the 3 pound mark, but they will do it just to keep that, you know, population under control.
Yeah. We have Kathy in Middlebury on the line. Kathy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Michaela. Thanks for the show. I just wanted to share, unfortunately, a cautionary tale about a strange cat that came into my yard over a week ago. I found it hanging out in an unoccupied small barn on the land. And when it saw me, it began to run out, you know, when I went to explore. My dog at the same time came running around the corner. When it saw the cat, they engaged in a fight, probably lasted 20 seconds. The cat finally got off, thank goodness. And I don't know whose cat it was, if it was a feral or if it was someone's in the neighborhood. We have, you know, pretty large properties here, 10 acres or more. Well, it just was a little scratch on the dog's face, barely bloody. And I didn't think any more of it until a few days later when I realized that he wasn't acting well, and he had a bad infection all underneath his jaw. He was all swollen, and it cost me roughly $1,000 in vet bills back and forth for sedation and surgical treatment and antibiotics. And the vets weren't 100% sure it was from the cat, but I can't think of what else would have been. So my plea to people who own cats, unless you have a huge property and you're sure it's not straying off your property, to please keep them inside. Also, this cat was threatening phoebes that nest in this barn, and phoebes are in trouble, I think, in the state, the birds. And the second is just that I learned a lesson that if, you know, if a cat or wild animal obviously bites my dog or scratches it, that I should just take it to the vet right away. Just as a precaution.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, I hope your pup is doing better. Thank you for calling in and telling us about this. Mish, any thoughts there, or words of advice for somebody who like Kathy might see a stray cat kind of wandering around their property?
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of difference in how you deal with, like, feral cats and just, you know, friendly lost cats outside. And sometimes you can't even tell the difference, you know, just based on looking at them. But I would say if you find a cat that's unknown in a rural area, chances are it came from a barn if it's not friendly. And then you can, you know, call your local rescue or shelter or whatever, or, you know, even ask your vet who around there may do humane trapping, and at least make sure that the cat doesn't belong to someone. You can get them scanned for a microchip, make sure that they're spayed or neutered, and talk to your neighbors, you know, go knock on doors, see if anyone knows that cat. That's one way, you know. And then if you're in more of a city setting like Burlington, you know, many people do have indoor-outdoor cats who roam. And, you know, I would say if they're friendly, chances are they are owned or they could be lost. You can, again, ask neighbors, talk to people you see around if they've seen the cat before. You can post on lost and found sites or front porch forum or something. You know, take a picture of the cat and put a little description up there where you found the cat. If the cat, like I said, is friendly, you can take them to the nearest vet and get them scanned for a microchip. But if the cat looks sick or, you know, they're not in good shape, they're dehydrated or matted, injured, of course, you want to contact us or another rescue that's nearby you as soon as possible. And, you know, we'll go out and try to humanely trap the cat and get it to the vet and figure out if it's owned or lost or, you know, feral or whatever.
Mish, you just brought up a couple different options for folks in that situation. I'm curious how dependent folks' options are for dealing with a feral cat or a cat they want to bring into an animal rescue based on what city or county or town they live in Vermont. Like, whose responsibility is it ultimately to catch a stray cat?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, there's no like humane welfare organization that deals with stray cats. I know ACOs will deal with dogs, but they don't collect cats. So it's really up to individual rescuers to rescue stray cats or feral cats or lost cats even, you know, or abandoned cats, which we see a lot.
Yeah. Well, we've received a couple emails to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org for this conversation. Mark writes, on the walkthrough ahead of our home purchase, we noticed a calico female cat on the edge of the property watching us. Moving in a few weeks later, I noticed her again watching us with interest, and now she was quite large. A week later, she had a litter of kittens under the woodpile. I called the Humane Society, and we were able to arrange to have the family trapped and taken to the vet for checkups, shots, spaying, and neutering, and released back into the wild. The mother ran off on release, but the kittens stayed with us. We named them Barley, Malt, and Hops. Over time, two of them became indoor cats and lived a long, happy life. One, Hops, remained feral, but we fed him and he stayed with us for 6 years, living under the woodpile, guarding our chickens and keeping our yard rodent-free. What do you think of that one?
No, I think it's great that they were agreeable to caring for the whole family of cats after that. You know, they were obviously well cared for, even the one that didn't want to come inside and be, you know, a pet. They deserve, you know, care and love, too, even if they live outside. You know, a lot of people find these cats and, you know, or colonies of cats that are outside and they don't want them around. And that's when it becomes more of an issue, you know? So we really appreciate caretakers who agree to, you know, continue to care for the cats on their property. Because like I said, shelters and rescues are full. And the more people that step up and help and do their small part in, you know, caring for cats and getting them spayed and neutered, the better.
And I imagine it's easier to find people to adopt kittens than it is adult cats.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Kittens are so cute, and there's no denying that. But the adults and the senior cats are just as lovable. And we do need more people who are open to adopting adult cats. We have a lot of them in the rescue right now, as a matter of fact. And you know, they're very sweet. They're, you know, they still live a very long time. They're only 1 or 2 years old, or 4 or 5 even. Cats can live up to 20 years. So, you know, just encourage people to adopt the older ones as well.
Yeah, mine's on year 12, going strong. Let's go to Jessie Lynn in Essex. Jessie Lynn, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm a visiting nurse, and I often go into different patients' homes and recently found out that some of my patients let feral cats in to keep them warm, they feed them, and then they're out during the day. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts as to how safe or possibly unhealthy that might be for some of my patients. And most of my patients are 65 and up, so they are elders.
Thanks. Great question. Mish, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would make sure that the cats are either spayed or neutered. And I don't, you know, as long as the cat is friendly towards people, I wouldn't worry about the risks so much. I think their demeanor should be assessed, you know, before letting them in and before having an elderly person handle them. But I think cats make great companions for older people. And again, I do encourage vet care as well. Make sure that the cat is up to date on, you know, rabies shots and, you know, other core vaccines, and just have an overall health check to make sure that they don't have anything. transmissible to humans, which we don't see a lot. But it's just better to be safe than sorry.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jessie Lynn. Let's go next to Tony in Newfane. Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well. What are your thoughts on the conversation?
Well, I have a couple stray cats that come to my house almost every night. I guess they've been a couple feral cats from what I'm understanding in the neighborhood here. And is it okay to feed them or not?
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, feel bad that they're outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say first make sure that they're fixed. And it's okay to feed them as long as you're consistent and have a plan. Just feeding them usually isn't enough. You want to make sure that they remain healthy. And, you know, if they're friendly, I would try to get them inside or to a rescue. And that's with all cats, even with the last caller. You know, we don't love to have cats outdoors if they don't have to be. You know, the alternative is, you know, well, feral cats, you know, have a place. But, you know, there's always a risk. So I don't know. I would say get them vet care and continue to feed them. But also, you know, you can try to socialize them as well, if you wanted to get them to a point where they're adoptable.
Hmm. Well, thanks for calling in, Tony. The point you're just making, Mish, reminds me of an email we got from Cheryl in Quebec, who writes, I capture and transport cats to our local SPCA, where they vaccinate and sterilize them. If the cats have hope for socialization, they keep them for adoption. If not, they are returned to me, and I continue to care for them. For folks who want to be sure they're doing the right thing, taking care of a cat that they see, but don't want to put themselves or somebody else in harm's way. What are like the basic takeaways here, Mish?
Yeah, there's no reason to be scared of feral cats, but you know, we do practice TNR, which is trap, neuter, return, and that is one really good way to care for cats. When they're can you repeat that?
Yeah, just as we wrap up here, what are the basic steps that somebody should take if they see a feral cat in their neighborhood right now to make sure that they keep the cat and themselves safe?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's no reason to be afraid of feral cats. They are more afraid of you than you are of them for the most part. And if you can socialize them, you know, you just go really slowly and or, you know, if you're trying to figure out if they can be socialized, just take your time, go slow. There's a lot of information out there. We will be putting more info on our website about this kind of thing, socializing feral cats. And, you know, if they can be adoptable, that's great. You know, a lot of these cats, they look scared outside. Doesn't always mean that they're feral. They could just be afraid of being outside or afraid of humans, or, you know, you just have to give them a lot of time sometimes.
Hmm. Well, Mish Faust of Queen City Cats in Burlington, thank you so much for sharing these tips with us. They're really helpful.
Thank you for having me.
And your website.
Oh, it is queencitycatsvt.org.
There you go. Where soon you'll be able to find more information on keeping those cats safe that you see out in the world, those feral cats, which are maybe cropping up right now during kitten season.